Joshua chapter 3. We'll commence reading in verse 1, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's all hear God's word. Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, "Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Amen. May God add His own blessing to the public reading of His word to every heart, for His name's sake. Could we all bow our heads, please, and our hearts around the throne of grace, and ask the Lord to meet with us this evening around His word. Let's all pray. Our eternal God and Father, we still ourselves in Thy holy presence this Lord's Day evening. We cast our minds upon the great truth that Thou art God, and beside Thee there is none else, that Thou art the Lord of hosts, and that Thou hast condescended to our low estate. Thou hast looked upon us in mercy, and we come with thanksgiving this evening, ere we commence the preaching and the hearing of Thy word. We thank Thee, our God, we have the truth from which to preach. We thank Thee, O God, Thou hast promised that Thy people will be sanctified through Thy truth. And indeed, Lord, that lost sinners will be made free indeed by Thy truth. We ask that this will be our experience tonight in this house of God. Sinners set free, the saints of God sanctified. Come and fill Thy servant with Thy Spirit. Lord, cause my words to be in line with Scripture. Set a guard about my heart and lips. And I pray that Thou wilt arrest the attention of every soul in this place. O Lord, sanctify this meeting with Thy presence. We need Thy help. Thou art the helper of the helpless. Thou hast promised to come to the aid of those in need. Here we are, Lord. We're in need. Now come and help. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. And amen. It was the English philosopher of the last century by the name of Thomas Carlyle who said that change indeed is painful, yet ever needful. Those words serve as a fitting introduction to the message from this third chapter of Joshua this evening. Change indeed is painful. Certainly there is one thing that most people are slow to accept. Change. While there is certainly a breed of people in God's creation who love adventure, who love to explore, who love to go where no one's gone before, who love change just for change's sake, I feel I'm safe in saying that the vast majority of mankind is basically made up of homebodies. Oh yes, it's nice to have a change for a little while, but sooner or later we want to get back to our routines and we like to get back and to our ruts. We like to get back to our little nests that we have built for ourselves, where we can live in those little nests and die in them. Most assuredly, we do not welcome people or events that stir up our nests, that bring change into our lives. We feel safe and secure in our present situation, and the thought of having to face new circumstances and new people and new temptations and new trials and new territory can really put the believer's faith to a test. Well, this is just the place where we find the children of Israel this evening. Their wilderness wanderings have now come to an end, and now it's time to go on in and to possess the promised land. To go on in and take the land of Canaan. Now it's time to leave behind the burning desert sun and the long, weary treks through hot sand. Time to leave behind the manna and the water that had sustained them for 40 years in these deserts. Before them was the land of milk and honey. The land of green pastures and cool streams. Before them was the land of battles, and thank God, the land of victories. Before them was Canaan land, the land of rest. But there is one thing that lies between them and their Canaan, the Jordan River. The Jordan represented a new obstacle for these Israelites. In many ways, it stood as the passageway between the old life of the wilderness and the new life of blessing in Canaan. So in many ways, the Jordan symbolized all that is tied up in that word change. As a matter of fact, we read at the end of verse 4 that the captain of the host, they went throughout the camp and told them, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." This is all new. New territory. New experiences. Now, this scene before us this evening is one that occurs in every believer's life, not once, not twice, but many, many times, as long as he's a pilgrim in this world. Our faith in the Lord is put to the test when we are brought to face untried waters. When we must go through new circumstances or endure new trials. When God brings us to take a path that we've never had to take before. But it is just in going down that path that we will be led to new and fuller blessings. Between us and the blessing lies our Jordan. So this evening I want to speak from this chapter on crossing our Jordans. I want to consider three simple things about these Israelites at this juncture in their lives and draw the necessary applications, I trust. First, their problems, then we'll look at their preparation for crossing the Jordan, and finally, the passage that they actually made. First, let's hone in on the problems they faced in crossing the Jordan River. It's far easier, you know, to read this passage than it would have been to experience it. Stop and think for a moment of the problems that would have certainly weighed heavily upon the hearts and upon the minds of these people as they're all encamped on this side of the Jordan, needing to get over to the other side. First, this was an unfamiliar path. We've already noted that they had never passed this way heretofore. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They had gone up and down this wilderness for nearly 40 years. But they had never before crossed the Jordan River. It's very interesting to actually go to a map and look at the stations that they set up for 40 years. Some doesn't actually make sense to the human eye. It was like they were traveling in circles at times. But now they come to a place and they come to the Jordan River. They've crossed the Red Sea, some have, but now they've got to cross the Jordan. They've never had to do this. It's an unfamiliar path. This was new ground to them. A new difficulty, a new series of testing that was before them. You see, I've got to believe that they had become quite familiar with the wilderness, wouldn't you? 40 years in any place, you kind of get used to it. 40 years. They were quite used to the wilderness with all of its peculiar difficulties and all of its unique tribulations. But now there is this Jordan River that's staring them in the face. Now there are those giants and those chariots of iron that they're going to have to contend with when they cross over the Jordan. The temptation would be, would it not, to remain in a place that they had known so well for so long, even though it was a wilderness. They got comfortable with their surroundings. They got used to their settings. And now God's saying, "I've got a new path for you. There's a new place I want you to go. Here it is." Certainly that's how it was with the earlier generation that had died off in the wilderness when they were faced with this new set of circumstances, with a new test to their faith. What did they say? "Would to God we had stayed in Egypt." Can you imagine them saying that? But they didn't want change and the things that change meant. Now, although there are several millennia separating Israel and us tonight, nothing really has changed. Providence brings us to our Jordan. Sometimes it's a whole new path in life. one that we've never had to traverse before. We've got a lot of students in here. Perhaps this is your first year in college. It's a new set of circumstances. New challenges. The unknown is before you. Am I going to make it? What difficulties am I going to have to face? Perhaps new jobs. Perhaps there's something that God has just brought into your life and you are now, as far as you can see it, you are to go here, but there is this Jordan River before you and this is a very unfamiliar path. Sometimes we're called by God to enter into new labors. We become so accustomed to our present field of service, which may have seemed difficult at first. But we fear change. We don't know how we'll do in the new circumstances. We don't know what the future will bring, and our faith begins to tremble. Sometimes it's a new trial. It's a new burden we have never had to bear before, and we wonder. We don't like change, and we don't like these unfamiliar paths that God calls us to travel. We like our little niches and our little nests and our little ruts. Safe and secure. There was a second problem. This was an unusual path. Things have changed. Israel had been led by God these 40 years in the wilderness, but God takes a different method of leading Israel now. I want you to note carefully that gone is the pillar of cloud and fire. They had gotten used to seeing that thing, you know. I shouldn't call it that thing, but the manifestation of God's presence. That's what had led them for 40 years. When that cloud began to move, they broke camp and moved with it. They got familiar with that. But now it's gone. They were used to seeing it day in and day out for 40 years, but now the command is to follow the ark of the cup of the covenant that was to be carried by the priest. That's what's going to lead you now across this Jordan. It was all unusual. Something, this is different. And we don't like change. Gone was the familiar way that God had led them. Now He would lead them by a new way. And this was a trial of their faith. You see, we get used to how the Lord leads us personally in this journey. We become acquainted with the ways that God takes with our souls in directing our steps. Sometimes it's through people speaking to us. Sometimes it's through a sense of peace or a lack thereof in the place of prayer. Sometimes it's through the written word. Sometimes it's through the preached word. But whatever it is, we've become accustomed to the ways in which the Lord has led us down the paths of life. But there are times, you know, when God leads us in new ways altogether. Ways we hadn't expected. We weren't looking for them. Providence brings us to a Jordan we had never anticipated and directs us to cross it in a way that we had never imagined. And it's unusual. More times than not, it will require a greater degree of faith on our part. To number one, see that this is the hand of God leading in an unusual way. And number two, to go through with it. It was relatively easy to look to this mysterious cloud of God's presence. But now they were simply to follow a piece of furniture of the tabernacle. And so when God leads us through unusual methods at these Jordans, we wonder and we doubt and we fear. It's a problem we have to face. It seemed to be, furthermore, an untimely path. I say untimely because verse 15 tells us that the banks of the Jordan were overflowing. You see, the barley harvest was in the springtime. The time when the snows melted in the mountains of Lebanon and swelled the Jordan River. it would have made more sense to human logic to cross the Jordan when it wasn't so deep. But the banks are overflowing. God, don't you think that we ought to wait a little bit until these waters recede before we try to cross? No, you go now. When the situation looks absolutely impossible, you go cross Jordan now. Prepare yourselves. Untimely. Rest assured, our unbelief will see God's timing in bringing us to our Jordans as very untimely. That brings me in the second place this evening to the preparation for crossing the Jordan. God used, I believe, two basic methods here in preparing them for crossing the Jordan. The first was contemplation. Contemplation. I want you to note that they had to sit at the brink of the Jordan River for 3 days before God gave them specific instructions. Look, please, at verse 2 of chapter 3. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and began to give instructions. 3 days. We learn from Joshua 1, verse 11, that just before leaving Shittim, he had commanded the officers to pass through the host and tell them that they would cross in 3 days. Now they go there and they wait. Why? Contemplation. It was God's way of preparing them for these new set of circumstances that they were going to have to face. And if you and I are ever going to go forward in our Christian life, if you and I are going to cross these Jordans that stand between us and the blessings of the land of Canaan, it's going to necessitate on our part some serious contemplation. Some earnest deliberation about where we are, why we're here, what God is doing, what's before us, and what we're facing. In Fast Food America, 1999, that's not what we want to hear. We want the answers written in the sky. That's what my wife told me when she wanted to be sure that I was the guy she should marry. 18 years later, I hope she made the right choice. But that's how we are. We want everything pronto. We want to know the will of God now. And you know, we get ourselves in a bind in doing that, because if we say, Lord, it's now or never, we're headed for trouble. No, God says, you just wait here. And you contemplate. Now, I want you to put yourself in their shoes for a minute as you face this Jordan River. You have 3 days on your hands with relatively not a whole lot to do. What would cross your mind? What would you think about? What should cross your mind? Number one, we can't cross this Jordan in our own strength. Number one. Jordan, you know, is a symbol of death. And for you and I to make spiritual progress, we must learn through painful experience and through contemplation that death has got to be written over all of our machinations, over all of our doings, all of our plans and schemes. Just put the word death over them. Because you're not going to get into the land of blessing by your own strength. It just won't happen. You've got to cross the Jordan. And you can't get across it by yourself. Here they are sitting around, mom and pop. honey, how are we going to get across? I don't know, honey. I have no idea. We have no boats. We have no ships. We have no barges. I don't know. We can't do it. I believe we take great strides forward in our Christian life when we are brought to abandon all trust in self and look to the Lord alone to do what we can't do. I believe then we make great strides. There's something else that would come to their minds as they contemplated this Jordan River for those 3 days. Secondly, that they would ponder the fact that, well, honey, I can see them talking in their tents. God's brought us here. We didn't direct ourselves here. Moses didn't do this. God told Moses to come here just now. God has done this. They were there by divine appointment. Just as God had led them every step of the way, those 40 years in the wilderness, it was God Himself now who had brought them to this Jordan River when its banks were overflowing. And we lose sight of that truth, and all too soon, we can't deal with our Jordans and we can't face them. God has done this. I don't know what kind of year you're going to have in the university, in the theological hall, in your job, in your church, in your marriage, in your family, whatever it might be. But I do know this, God has brought you here. And whatever obstacles might seem to be in your path from getting the blessing and prospering in the things of God, you must contemplate this truth. God has brought me here, and I'm now facing an obstacle to this path. It's got to be of His doing. Something else they would contemplate, that while this kind of path is new to us, it's not new to God's people. I would think they would begin to think back and reflect upon, well, you know, 40 years ago, I remember that the people of Israel were facing a similar situation. It was called the Red Sea. And you remember how we're told that God just opened up. Now, there were many there who had never seen that. They were born in the wilderness. But they'd been told, it's new to us. We haven't been here before. But there have been others who have been, and they got across. And I'm telling you, as you face the new difficulties, the obstacles, the Jordan River, and you think it can't be crossed, it might be new to you, but there have been plenty of other believers who've gone across before you. And they've gotten through. Which means you can get through. Yes. You'll get through the obstacles. And you'll get across the Jordan. And you go into blessing. Something else they would contemplate at this juncture in those 3 days. Honey, God has been faithful to this point. I want you to just sit there for a second and just ponder your present situation. Has not God been faithful to this point in your life? I want you to tell me when the Lord left you. I want to tell me if you've never had God come and divide rivers for you before. You've been in new circumstances, you've been in new situations, and somehow you made it through. Because God has been faithful to this point. And don't you see, if God has been faithful to this point, then He'll be faithful to the next point, because He says, I am that I am. I always will be what I always have been. There's something else I think they would have contemplated in so many words. The only way of getting into Canaan is by crossing this Jordan. That's it. We want to go into that land of blessing. We want to go into that land of milk and honey. But there's only one way we're going to get there. We've got to cross this Jordan. Might as well accept it. Old ground is familiar and safe. That is true. But I want to ask you a question this evening. Who in the world wants to go over old ground again and again and again and again? I don't want to go over the same old ground I went over last year. I want to go to new ground, and I want to go to higher ground, and I want to go where there's a land of more blessing. And while I might face a Jordan River in front of me, I still know that the only way to get where I want to get is going through that. I've got to face that. It is only as we face new trials and new battles that we come to new advances in the spiritual life. You understand that logic? The only way to make new advances in the Christian life is to have new trials and new troubles, new situations you've never had to go through before. But what are you and I like? Lord, don't give me that cross. As much as we can, it seems, we try to step around the crosses or to step over them. But the Lord says, take them up and bear them and follow me. But we want to get out of them. And I'm simply saying this evening, brothers and sisters, this new territory, this new ground, this new challenge, whatever it might be, is God's divinely appointed method for you going forward. Will anybody say amen? Amen. Presbyterians can say amen, you know. Not only was it by contemplation, but as far as this preparation is concerned, it was by commands that he prepared them to get forward. They were told, firstly, to sanctify themselves. Look, please, at verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I think that Christians find themselves unprepared to face their Jordans because they failed to heed this part of God's instructions. For Israel, it was commanded to cleanse themselves from all kinds of ceremonial defilement, outward pollution, as well as cleanse themselves by bringing their hearts and minds into a right frame toward God. To pray and to meditate on the Word of God and upon His works. Sanctify yourselves. That's part of the preparation for going into the land of Canaan. For being able to get through the Jordan, the obstacle. The foolish church has lost much ground. She imagines that she can dally with the world and still be ready to cross these Jordans. Who was the Scottish? It was McShane or one of the Scottish preachers who said, I looked for the world and found it in the church. Looked for the church and found it in the world. Comments were made in the middle 1800s. Pray tell, what in the world would they say now? And the people of God try to get as close to the world as they can, try to dress like the world and still maintain a testimony and talk like the world and be accepted of the world. And this world's mentality, when all along the Word of God tells us to separate. We fall to pieces when we come to new territory, new challenges, and new ground. We haven't taken the preparation of sanctification. They were commanded to hearken to the word of God. The Lord spake to Joshua, it says. And Joshua spake to the people. Again, you find that in verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Almost the entire passage is taken up with the repeated commands of the Lord. Little do we realize the utter necessity of obedience to the word of God in facing and crossing our Jordans, in going on the land of blessing, explicit obedience to the commands of the Lord. I think that too often our thinking is when we are brought to these critical times in our lives, how in the world am I going to get through this? But you know, that's not the question. The question is this: what is my duty while I face this Jordan? Not how am I going to get through it. The business, brothers and sisters, of getting through the Jordan is God's business. But your business is to know, what am I to do in the meantime? We must leave the how am I going to get through this to God. I like that. How am I going to survive? How am I going to make it? Lord, I see this problem. I see this difficulty. I anticipate this happening. How in the world am I going to get to that place of blessing? It is His work to get you through the Jordan. It is simply yours to obey His word. Find out what God tells you to do and then do it. And you leave the rest with Him. Forgive me for my simplicity, but that's how it works. Find out what He tells you to do, then just do it and leave the rest of it with Him. The chief thing to do in every dilemma is to wait until you hear the Lord's voice. They were commanded to go forward as far as they could go, and then wait upon the Lord to move. The Lord's word to the priest bearing the ark is found in verse 8. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. Now here was a test of their faith and their obedience. We seek to obey the Lord to the best of our abilities, but still we find that the circumstances are against us and the situation is beyond our powers to cope with. We find a Jordan that's too deep and too wide to pass through. What do we do? We come to the brink of the water and then we stand still. We go forward as far as we can to the very limits of our path of duty, and then we just have to count on God to undertake. But you go as far as you can. You don't hold back and pull back and stay back here. The Lord said, go on. Here are the priests bearing the ark. Would you please put yourself in their sandals? You're bearing the ark. There's the big Jordan. Its banks are overflowing. And you're supposed to go forward. And they're going forward. And their feet are going to the water. What's going to happen next? I don't know. But something's going to happen. But I'm supposed to go as far as I can and leave that with the Lord. They were commanded furthermore to keep their eyes on the ark. Verses 3 and 4 of this chapter. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. In order to know how this maybe 2 million people were to cross, got to keep your eyes upon the ark. Got to be able to see it. Do I need to make the application? Need I say that the way that you and I are going to know how and where to cross our Jordans is by keeping our eyes upon Christ, the ark of the covenant? Thank God He is a covenanted Christ. It was the ark of the covenant, covenanted to His people to be their guide, to be their shepherd, to be their guard, to be everything that they would ever need. Christ has been made over to us as that very thing. And I say there is great comfort in this. We get into trouble when we start looking all about and looking at people and looking at preachers and looking at things to try to get across our Jordan. And all the while, our eyes are to be glued to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's wonderful things, another message I would just love to go into and just show you the Ark of the Covenant and Christ all in it, and how this all plays part and parcel to us being able to go on to the land of blessing. But that's another time and another message. Leave it to you to ponder. We are clearly taught that following Christ is essential to being able to cross our Jordans. Is it not true that when we are brought to face our Jordans, we find our hearts so often filled with needless care and fear? But this passage here teaches us one vital truth. All of our care should be spent upon attending the motions of Jesus Christ. All of our energy, all of our effort, Lord, where are You? Where are You leading me? Lord, where are You in the Scriptures? Let me find You. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. I come third and finally to the passage of the Jordan. Several things I want to say about their passing over, and then we'll close. Number one, I want you to see that they did not hurry. They didn't run headlong into the Jordan River, but they tarried until the priest went in. Big time trouble if they decided, I'm going to go on in myself. It's going to open up for me. Nope. Christ opens up the Jordan. You don't open it up. We make trouble for ourselves by hastily trying to run ahead of God. They did not hurry. They did not make haste. But they tarried until the priest went first in God's appointed way. Everything was done with deliberation. And when you are facing a Jordan, do not make the awful mistake of making hasty decisions and rash judgments. And that is the temptation and trial to act unwisely and to lean on your own understanding of things. Brothers and sisters, your understanding of things and my understanding of things means absolutely nothing unless it concurs with God's understanding of things. The great need to cross the Jordan is to be calm in thy soul. Having said that, I also find that they did not hesitate when the time came to move. When the trumpet sounded, they all went across. No one stayed behind. God says, go, my friend, you go. You don't dally, you don't tarry, you go. How would you like to have been one of those that decided, well, I think I'll take it easy here for a while. Let those guys get across and I'll head on over. What would have happened to you? Waters come crashing down around you. You're stuck in the middle. No, you go when God says go. They found, furthermore, that the difficulties of this new, unusual, unfamiliar, untimely path disappeared. The difficulties disappeared. The Jordan River dried up. And you know what? It wasn't so great an obstacle after all. If I can just stop off and give a personal word to the Theological Hall students, I came in with fear and trepidation to this Protestant purgatory, as it's called. But you know, as I look back, after being 10 years in the ministry, it was a piece of cake. I'm not saying I didn't spend hours studying. Oh, I did all that, but what I thought it was going to be, I've been out of school for so many years, it's going to be hard to get back. You know, the Lord just opened up the way. And He still does the same for His people. What you're facing, He opens up the way because the Lord wants you in Canaan. The Lord wants you in blessing. Not standing there at the edge of the bank, just trembling and scared to death to take a step forward. All the difficulties just disappeared. We sang that hymn written by William Cowper. If you've heard the story behind it, you're going to hear it again. If you haven't, you'll find it interesting. William Cowper was a man given to depression, despondency. During one of those deep bouts of depression, he decided he was going to end his life by drowning himself. He hailed a horse and carriage, taxi driver in those days, to take him to the river where he would commit suicide. As he did so, and the driver began to take off, a heavy fog rolled into London, as it often does. And the driver, for going around for some time, had to stop and say, "Mr. Cowper, I am lost. I don't know where I'm going. I can't go any further. I'm going to have to let you off here." Cowper gets out of the carriage, and lo and behold, he's back in front of his apartment. He goes upstairs. He takes pen and paper and says, "God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head." There we are. We're scared of those clouds. And yet they're filled with blessing. Finally, I would say that they discovered the presence of the Lord in the midst of the Jordan. Note, please, from verse 17 that the priests were commanded to stand still in the midst of the Jordan. You know, the midst of it, it was the lowest point. I want you to picture the Israelites crossing the Jordan with a mountain of water just towering over them on one side. But as they pass on in the lowest point of the river, what do they find? The Ark of the Covenant. Do you not see that as you are facing the new situation and the new difficulty and passing through it is a very low, in fact, you feel it's the lowest point that you can ever reach.
Don't you see that Jesus Christ is right there in the midst at the lowest point with you? And you know what? He was there all along. He was there all along.
And all of this was their portion and much more because they went forward in faith. This is how we cross our Jordans. Go on and cross them. The Lord write His word upon your heart for His name's sake. Amen.
Let's bow together in prayer. Let's all pray. Let's just still our hearts before the Lord. The Lord never makes a mistake in the message that He gives or the people whom He has in a service to hear it. I trust that the Lord has spoken to you, that you will tonight be able to turn your eyes upon Jesus, to look full in His wonderful face. Perhaps you're not saved at all. You know nothing of divine guidance because as yet you're a stranger to saving grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He says, look unto me and be saved. Look and live. If you'd like to talk with the preacher, he's here as your servant for Christ's sake. If you'd like him to help you in the things of God, whether you need to be saved or, as a Christian, need to get right with God, we'd be glad to help you in the things of the Lord. So do remain and speak with Him. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He has gone before us into death. We thank Thee that He went the way of the cross. We thank Thee that any cross we take is His cross. And, O Lord, we bless Thee that when Christ died, He also rose again. We bless Thee that He is a living Savior. The way He leads His people may be death to the flesh, but we praise Thee that it is life more abundant. We ask indeed that Thou wilt bring us over our Jordans. Bring us into the land of fullness, of fatness, of plenty. The land of former and latter rain. O God, we ask that Thou wouldst lead Thy people. By whatever way Thou dost choose, lead us, we ask, into the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So give fruit now for the preaching of the precious Word of God, and grant that our lives may see the results. Bless every young person here, those who are facing great changes in life. Lord, bless them abundantly. Lay Thy hand upon many young men and women. Let them know what it is to sanctify themselves, to be kept pure from the filthiness of the world around about them, to be holy, dedicated unto Thee, ready to follow in the footsteps of their Christ. Now, Lord, answer prayer, and as we separate one from another, grant that Thy grace, mercy, and peace will be our abiding portion, both now and evermore. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.